Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's great to have you with us. Thanks for tuning in today, being a part of our life here and allowing us to be a part of yours as well. Here from the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, where it is a drenching rainstorm just like it is up and down the valley. We have a flash flood watch in effect for here. And we have a tornado watch and thunderstorm warnings. Other than that, it's all good.
It's a quiet day.
Yeah, other than that, it's all good. You know, within the confines of the broadcast facility of Champions, they have alarms that go off when there's a weather alert or a news alert.
Yes.
And right now, Kevin would like to exercise his Second Amendment right and shoot the alarm.
I'm telling you right now, I have seen my favorite had to have been a unknown event that got sent out. I think it was by accident for the entire state of Pennsylvania. I'm like,
unknown.
Okay, that's a little disturbing.
An unknown event.
Yes.
The NBA draft is tonight. The first pick in the draft belongs to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, there have been inquiries from 10 different teams about what to do with that pick. But as of right now, it appears that there is no interest, I mean legitimate deep interest, in dealing for that pick. Now, next year when Wiggins comes out and everyone knows he's the first overall pick in the draft, it's going to be a little different atmosphere. Next year's draft is deeper and has impact players. This is a draft of complementary players. The better players in this draft are going to be complementary players on their team. Cavaliers don't know what to do with that first pick. Do you go with, for example, Alex Len from Maryland? 7-footer, skilled around the basket. Offensively, very good. And based on the Cavaliers' personnel and what they have, he might be the right fit. Then there's Nerlens Noel out of Kentucky, coming off a torn ACL. Noel is maybe the best shot blocker I have seen since Bill Russell. Even a better shot blocker than Anthony Davis coming out of college last year. But offensively, he really struggles. He does not have any semblance of a smooth offensive game. Defensively, really good. Moves his feet well. Great timing, long arms, and a fabulous shot blocker. No question. When it comes to that element of his game, he grades out an A defensively, and he absolutely grades out an A as a shot blocker. But offensively, he is no better than maybe a C or a C minus offensive player, and I might be generous with that. He just does not have a major league offensive game. He absolutely does have a major league defensive game. Ben McLemore. Played 1 year at Kansas. If you're going to pick anybody in this draft that has the greatest upside in this draft, it's him. McLemore, and by the way, Kevin, just so you know, if anybody calls or if we get Mike in this, you're going to have to tell me because I have lost the screen.
Okay, we'll take care of that.
And I can't get the screen back up again. Been trying to. Ben McLemore is the greatest upside of anybody in this draft. he has a chance to be the dynamic player of this draft. But when you look at his career at Kansas, the one-year career, there were some games where he was undoubtedly spectacular. There were other games, some key ones of the Big 12, where he disappeared. No level of consistency, no high-level game-to-game that you would expect from someone of that talent. He also has not exactly wowed the masses in his workouts for the NBA. He has shown up at times somewhat disinterested. This is the rest of your life here. I'd get interested fast. But if you're going to talk about somebody who has the greatest, quote, upside of anybody in this draft, it's Ben McLemore. Otto Porter. Otto Porter has taken a different route to get here than anyone else. He's out of Georgetown, for the uninitiated. We are in an AAU world in basketball, and I have never liked it. I've never liked the AAU world. These traveling teams put together, play four games in one day, don't get a real feel for the hatred of losing. So I've never been a big AAU guy. Otto Porter went completely against the grain and never played AAU basketball. He said, I'd rather just work on my own game, and his brother advised him to do that. So he worked on his own game, developed it, and then became a great player at Georgetown. He's going to be a good player in this draft. He probably will be one of the first five guys taken. I saw Otto Porter play in the NCAA tournament down in Philadelphia and thought he was very good, but didn't do anything that wowed me and made me think he was great. I just thought he was very good, and I think he can be a good complementary player in the NBA. Maybe a little bit better than Evan Turner, but probably steadier than Evan Turner. That level of player. The next couple of guys I'm going to talk about are Big Ten guys that I think are both going to be really good NBA players. Let's start with Victor Oladipo from Indiana. In listening to the interview I did with Patrick Chambers, I'm sure you heard me reference at one point the fact that games are made in the summer. And LeBron James is the first to tell you that the jump shot that you saw him at with relative consistency during the course of the season and the playoffs, he worked so hard in the offseason to get that jump shot where it was consistent and solid. Victor Oladipo last year, I can tell you in watching his first 2 years at Indiana, he was a really good defensive player, good footwork, hands, anticipation, and that he was outstanding in the open floor and an excellent dunker. He was an excellent finisher. But the one thing he did not have in his first 2 years, he did not have a consistent jump shot. When he stepped out to take a shot, you pretty much thought, okay, good. But in the offseason, and Dan Dockage has told me this, he is an absolute gym rat. And that he and Jordy Hulls and Christian Watford really changed the culture of Indiana basketball because they went from a party group to a gym group. Well, in that gym last summer, Victor Oladipo worked religiously on his jump shot. And this year he shot in the mid-40s from three-point range. He went from, oh, go ahead, to, oh, no, he's going to shoot it. Outstanding. And it's made a huge difference. This guy still has the great defensive game to now go with a very good offensive game. He will go to a team. The team that gets him will get one of the more intelligent, thoughtful, team-oriented, two-way players in this entire draft. Victor Oladipo in all likelihood will not be a star, but he'll be a very, very important complementary player to the team that gets him. The next guy is Trey Burke. Trey Burke out of Michigan. Now, you know, Oladipo went 3 years at Indiana. Burke went two at Michigan. And I think that second year benefited Trey Burke exponentially. I love how he changes speeds in the middle of a play. He can lull you to sleep with one pace and then all of a sudden, boom, accelerate and get you with a different pace. He has a really nice shot. He has range. And he also knows where all the chess pieces are on the floor. Point guards have greater longevity in the NBA and greater level of stardom, actually, than centers do. Now, centers' impact, for every Shaquille O'Neal, though, how many Neil Walks and Sam Bowies do you see along the way? And when they get hurt, like Greg Oden or a few others along the way, it seems to take them longer, while guards seem to take much less time. I think part of it's the weight that they carry. Trey Burke, to me, is a smoother version of Mike Conley, who came out of Ohio State and is now critical to what happens with the Memphis Grizzlies. Trey Burke is a smoother version of Mike Conley. And I think the team that gets him gets their point guard for the next 10 years. There are some other guys along the way. Dwayne Bennett out of UNLV. Dynamic player, slasher, can make some things happen. Some people actually rate him higher than McLemore in terms of being an all-around player. Cody Zeller. Cody Zeller, some people thought a year ago he could be the first overall pick in the draft. He's not going to be. He's probably going to go in the 7 to 12 range. I'd say he'd probably go 9 or 10. 9 or 10 in this draft. Let's just say that. Really narrow it down to there. Cody Zeller probably is not going to be a 5 in the NBA. He's probably going to be a 4. He'll probably be a power forward. He has a decent face-up game from about 10 to 15 feet. Decent. He plays very well with his back to the basket. He knows how to get inside position very well. And he's far quicker than people realize. And of course, I mentioned Alex Len. He has, as a 7-footer, a very good offensive game. Better offensive game than Nerlens Noel. But Cleveland has a choice. I mean, there's some things Cleveland has to do. Do they go with McLemore? Do they go with Oladipo? Do they go with Len? Do they go with Nerlens Noel? Or maybe even Otto Porter? There's no clear cut. And you have to remember, there's certain parts of the Cavaliers already have in place that are going to determine which way they go. Of course, they already have Kyrie Irving. Part of the problem that the NBA has with the current system, and let's take Ben McLemore as an example, they only have 1 year to work off of as to what kind of player he can be at a level. 1 year. Now, in Oladipo's case, they now have 3 years. Better read. Trey Burke, 2 years. Better read. But in McLemore's case, 1 year. Nerlens Noel, less than that, because he was hurt in February. That complicates the decision. There are some that still strongly feel that the high school into the NBA rule should still be in existence. I understand that. Right to work rule, they want to go there anyway, just so let's let them go. I, though, am of the opinion, and David Stern shares this, that there should be a 2-year, 20-year-old rule. Right now it's 1 year and 19. But for whatever reason, the union won't go for this. I thought the union's job was to protect the current rank and file. Must have missed that note. But it doesn't give teams a very good evaluation period on a player when it's just 1 year. thus more risk, less of a read. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. So let the sizzling summer sales event get you fired up with a 2002 Lincoln LS four-door sedan. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2005 Ford Freestar wagon, the minivan that can do it all for just $79.91. 2011 Ford Fiesta SE 13426. Ford Fusion four-door sedan, $14,991. 2011 Chevy Equinox, four-wheel drive limited, $22,940. And a 2011 Hyundai Tucson, four-wheel drive. Call for price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Another guy that's going to be a top 10 pick is C.J. McCollum out of Lehigh. If he's worked out well enough, and my understanding is he has, coming off that injury, a lot of teams are going to want him to come out and be an instant offense kind of guy, which he can be. I think he'll be one of the first 10. I would not doubt if McCollum has picked 7, 8, or 9.
We've seen a lot of mock drafts that had him in that range.
He'll be 7, 8, or 9.
And then a lot of mock drafts had Muscala as being a late first round, early second round.
Right. Part of this is going to depend on the foreign contingent that goes into this draft. That could affect Mike's spot. The next part of this is Deshaun Thomas of Ohio State. I mean, I could see him. He'll be on an NBA team. Slasher, shooter. I think late middle to late second round, expect Tim Hardaway's name to come up. And that's not because it's a legacy pick. 6'6". You can't teach that in a guard, that kind of length. Mediocre defender. When his shot's going, he can be really, really good. He's improved his range as time has gone on. He's really good in the open floor. Defensively, that's just something that usually Tim does while he's waiting to go back on offense. But those are a couple of guys right there out of the Big Ten, for example, that I think will also get shots. Tim Hardaway and Deshaun Thomas. And that needs, just throwing that out there for people to consider as well. I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anybody else in the Big Ten. Nebraska, Iowa, no. Minnesota, no. Wisconsin, no. Northwestern, no. Purdue, not this time. Indiana, of course, we talked about Oladipo and Zeller. Illinois, no. Michigan, no. That's about it.
What about Maryland center?
Alex Lynn.
Alex Lynn.
I talked about
you
him.
You did talk? Okay, sorry, I missed that.
I've talked about him twice. He has very good footwork, and if the Cavaliers wanted to go with him with one, if the Cavaliers want to go with him at one instead of Noel, the difference is going to be because offensively, Lynn is a better fit for the Cavaliers than Noel is. Noel is the better shot blocker, but Cleveland probably needs a better offensive presence in the post, especially with Kyrie Irving as their point guard. Now they still have Waiters and a couple of other guys that get the ball and shoot it. But Len gives them a better offensive presence. That's why I think that he becomes a consideration at one. I probably would still pick Noel because I think that my thought would be he's so great as a shot blocker and so solid defensively that maybe you can teach him some things to make him a better offensive player because he has no offensive game. I mean, he is going to have some games next year in the NBA, Nerlens Noel, where he has no points, 9 rebounds, and 7 block shots.
You know, the other center I hear a lot of people talking about is Steven Adams from Pittsburgh.
He'll be one of the top 15 guys picked.
I mean, he's got a nice wingspan at 7.5.
He will be one of the top 15 guys picked. Adams definitely will be in that range. So put Adams down in the 11 to 15 range. That's where I think he'll fall. Oh, we're 10 minutes away from guess what?
Looking at the second round? Oh, no.
Her rant of the day. It's nothing like it. Even tweeted out to all the followers what to expect. My pulse is racing.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. I think the only other guy that's in the maybe in the top 10 that I didn't mention was Michael Carter Williams out of Syracuse. Not as consistent as I would like, but the point guard, bigger, seems to slither his way to the basket.
The real question is, can they get his name on the back of a jersey?
Oh, boy.
Just asking.
You asked me once. When was it I stopped liking sports?
When did you stop being a fan? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The difference is I love sports. You have warped over to the TMZ side.
Not completely.
I look at Michael Carter Williams. I talk about his ability, what he could do, what he might be able to bring to the table. You're wondering what his name looks like on the uniform.
Well, it is going to have to, like, arc a little bit and drip down to the right and left sides.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not saying the stuff that you're talking about isn't important. It absolutely is.
There's no need to draft him if the stuff I'm saying isn't important. The Cleveland Cavaliers will draft 1. The Magic draft 2. The Wizards draft 3. The Charlotte Bobcats, probably soon to become the Charlotte Hornets, draft 4. Phoenix Suns will draft 5. The New Orleans Pelicans will draft 6. Sacramento Kings will draft 7. Detroit Pistons 8. Minnesota Timberwolves 9. Blazers, thanks to a trade they made with Charlotte earlier, get the 10th pick. Sixers pick 11. Oklahoma City picks 12. Oh my goodness. Dallas picks 13, Utah 14, the Milwaukee Bucks 15, the Celtics draft 16. There's a lot of talk about a trade between the Celtics and the Nets involving Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Atlanta picks 17, then they pick 18 again. They got this pick from Houston, which was originally Brooklyn's pick. Cavaliers then pick again at 19. They got that pick from the Lakers. Bulls will pick 20. The Utah Jazz pick again at 21. They got that from Golden State, who originally, that was also originally Brooklyn's pick. Brooklyn then does have its own pick at 22. Indiana Pacers pick 23. Larry Bird's back, but he's not going to participate with the draft. The Knicks will pick 24. The Clippers, 25. The T-Wolves will pick again at 26. They got that pick from Memphis. Denver will pick 27, the Spurs pick 28, Oklahoma City picks again at 29, and the Phoenix Suns will pick 30. The Heat do not have a first-round pick, nor do they need it.
Can you go back, before we start this, and I want to see if this is right. You mentioned the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yep.
Who were originally the Charlotte Hornets.
Yep.
Then moved to New Orleans and became the New Orleans Hornets.
Right.
After Katrina relocated to Oklahoma City and became the Hornets, technically the New Orleans Oklahoma City Hornets.
No. The Oklahoma City just gave them a place to play, just like the Saints played at the Alamo Dome.
Right.
They just gave them a place to play while the arena was being fixed. That's all. It was just that was just a temporary thing because there was no place. They couldn't play at LSU because they were in the same boat.
So then they returned to New Orleans like 07, 08.
They only missed like half a season.
And now will be the Pelicans.
They've been the Hornets the last how many years?
I know that.
But they decided they wanted to get something. You know, now Tom Benson's the owner. They wanted to get something that was more symbolic of the region they're in.
So Charlotte, which originally had the Hornets, right, then became the Bobcats, now will become the Hornets again?
Well, the Bobcats are an expansion franchise.
Right.
And they feel through marketing, their market research shows that more people related to them when they were the Hornets. And they would like to get that name back. They can't do it this season. I think you have to have a year to clear it. The New Orleans Pelicans was announced last summer.
Right.
So you need a year to get it back because they want to go through licensing. They want to go through uniforms and so forth. So expect Charlotte to be the Hornets next year just to return the name.
I think they should have a trade in your jersey night.
Oh, maybe they will. Maybe they will. But, for example, when the Browns moved to Baltimore and became the Ravens, the one thing that right away they protected was the Cleveland Browns name.
Right, I remember that, yeah.
They wanted that to stay in place. I mean, for example, the Utah Jazz, they were the New Orleans Jazz. Well, they were in the New Orleans Jazz. It made sense. I've been to Utah a lot. There are not a lot of jazz houses, okay, from Salt Lake City to Provo to.
It's an excellent point.
Yeah. So, I mean, that one makes no sense. You look at Cavaliers always have been, Magic always have been. The Wizards were the Bullets, and, of course, that was the PC move. They got rid of the Bullets, became the Wizards. Mentioned the Bobcats. The Suns have always been the Suns, and it makes sense for Phoenix. Pelicans have changed. The Kings of Sacramento were the Rochester Nationals, Cincinnati Royals.
The what?
The Rochester Nationals. Or no, they were the Rochester Royals. The Rochester Royals in New York then became the Cincinnati Royals. Then became the Kansas City Kings and the Kansas City Omaha Kings.
Oh, man.
Okay, then the Kansas City Kings again. Then they moved to Sacramento and just kept the Kings name.
I'm looking it up. I looked it up now, the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, they were the Rochester Royals, Cincinnati Royals, yeah. Kansas City, Omaha Kings, Kansas City Kings, Sacramento Kings.
But before that, they were the Seagrams, the Eber Seagrams, the Pros, and then the Rochester Royals.
Okay. The Detroit Pistons were the Fort Wayne Pistons at one point, but it makes sense. Minnesota Timberwolves have always been the Timberwolves. The Trailblazers have always been in Portland. The Sixers, the Philadelphia Warriors were there, and they moved to Oakland. Well, actually moved to San Francisco, became the San Francisco Warriors, now the Golden State Warriors. The Philadelphia 76ers used to be the Syracuse Nationals.
That I knew.
The Oklahoma City Thunder at one point were the Seattle Supersonics. So when they moved to Oklahoma City, boom, they became the Thunder. Seattle maintained the Supersonics name. The Jazz, I just told that story. They were New Orleans, now Utah. Milwaukee Bucks have always been the Bucks. The Celtics have always been the Celtics. The Atlanta Hawks were the St. Louis Hawks. The Chicago Bulls were always the Chicago Bulls, but before that they had two other teams that played in Chicago. The Chicago Packers and the Chicago Zephyrs.
Weren't the Lakers originally in Minnesota?
They were Minneapolis. The Lakers were the Minneapolis Lakers. That's why they're called the Lakers.
Which makes a ton more sense to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes, makes no sense. The Clippers were the Buffalo Braves, who then moved to San Diego, became the San Diego Clippers, and then became the L.A. Clippers. The Knicks have always been the Knicks. The Pacers have always been the Pacers. The Brooklyn Nets were the New Jersey Americans, who then became the New York Nets, the New Jersey Nets, now the Brooklyn Nets.
Celtics were always the Celtics, weren't they?
Always the Celtics. Yeah. The Denver Nuggets were originally the Denver Rockets. And then when they were going to go, you know, they changed the name because they were going to be going to the NBA, so they changed it to the Nuggets. The Spurs were the Dallas Chaparrals, who then became the Texas Chaparrals, who then became the San Antonio Spurs.
That, I never heard the Chaparrals.
Yeah,
sounds like a 50s female singing trio.
I know. The Houston Rockets were the San Diego Rockets originally. Am I missing anybody?
Wow. Almost every team in the NBA has moved somewhere. But I mean,
Memphis Grizzlies were the Vancouver Grizzlies. Toronto Raptors have always been the Toronto Raptors. Well, it just took the NBA a long time to get traction. They had no traction. I mean, you look at where the franchises are. Let's see. Cleveland's never moved. Orlando has not. Washington was the Baltimore Bullets. Charlotte hasn't. That's three. Where is that? Let's see. Phoenix is not. Minnesota Timberwolves have not. The Miami Heat have not. The Knicks have not. The Celtics have not. The Dallas Mavericks have not. The Milwaukee Bucks have not moved. That's 10. Toronto Raptors have not. Really, the Nuggets have moved either. That's 12. Anybody else? So the 30 franchises, 12 have never moved. That makes sense? Yeah. So the 30 franchises in the NBA, 12 have never moved. Let me into that's not. Did I mention the Pacers? Pacers haven't moved. That's 13. I'm trying to think of anybody else.
Well, while you're thinking, we do have to pass along a severe thunderstorm warning now issued for Columbia, Montour, Northumberland, Union, and Snyder counties until 5:45. Yeah. A tornado watch still in effect for the region.
Well, let's get to your rant.
Listen, this is a very simple to the point rant. The last couple of days, we've seen some big-time upsets at Wimbledon. So what's the first thing you hear about? You hear about the slick grass. Well, maybe that's why everybody's been having trouble. Maybe that's why Nadal's out. Maybe that's why Federer's gone. You know, we saw Sharapova slip a few times. Serena Williams seems to be doing all right, and so does Djokovic. He seems to be having no problems whatsoever winning. Can't we just say that some of these quote-unquote unseeded players just played better today? Is that possible? Somewhere along the line, Federer pulled an upset over a big player that nobody expected him to do. We just don't remember.
Pete Sampras.
We just may not remember it as well as we do now.
Pete Sampras, that's who he beat. That was his signature. That was his coming out party.
So can it just be that maybe this unknown, maybe the next Roger Federer?
Could be. I agree with that rant. I agree with that. Actually, I was sent an email from Wimbledon on the grass explaining that it's okay. It's all right. We think there's no problem.
The grass is slippery. What they do? Spray Teflon on it?
Don't know.
So there you have it.
Here, it's beeping again around you.
It is. It's a busy weather day in the Susquehanna Valley, and the National Weather Service is very busy.
Yes, it is. Huh.
We do have a flood watch now in effect for some of the area until about 7 because of these slow-moving thunderstorms that are coming through the area.
Right. By the way, for planning purposes, the blue-white weekend is going to be, the blue-white game is going to be April 12th. Just so you know, one little quick little football footnote. Bill O'Brien on the show next week. Our thanks to Patrick Chambers for being on today. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report tomorrow. Kevin's already sent me a list of Steelers questions.
And this just in as well, Steve, a flash flood warning for what appears to be southwestern Northumberland County and parts of Snyder County. That means there is some flooding actually happening, probably small stream urban style. So be careful as you're traveling home this afternoon.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, find the right route. That you know is clear and safe for you to get back. Oh, I got a huge tree limb down in my yard. Huge limb. I have to take care of.
Well, these thunderstorms are going to be around for a little while, the way it looks.
Yeah, it's just one of those days. It's a fairly wide swath of rain that goes with this. That Dubois, for example, Dubois, which is on the Clearfield-Jefferson County line, that they actually closed the town today.
I heard that, yeah.
They closed the town. And it's right on the Clearfield-Jefferson County line. It's actually in Clearfield County, but it's right on the line.
By the way, I'd like to apologize for anybody that was expecting to hear Mike Muscala. We had originally had him scheduled for today. Obviously, he was unable to get to the phone and be with us because of everything that I'm sure he's getting phone calls left and right here today with tonight being a big day. And I know he had family and friends that I believe they were getting a hotel in the Minneapolis area to a room there and an area there to kind of what they hope will be celebrate a NBA draft by him. So hopefully we'll be able to touch base with him in the next day or so, or maybe early next week.
We'll take a break here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Lousy weather across the area today. Flash flood warnings in effect. Severe thunderstorm warnings in effect. And you're a few hours away from getting out of it. The NBA draft is tonight. And there are no stars in this draft. There's not a game changer on the board.
I would think, though, that would be good for guys like Mike Muscala and CJ McCollum, who would probably be easily overshadowed otherwise.
Right. Now, next year, there are a couple game changers in that draft. Next year is a far more dynamic draft than this one. But this one has a series of complementary players in it that will make the teams that draft them better. I mean, all the way through. I mean, like a guy like Alan Crabb from Cal, heck of a player. I think he could, you know, he's a late first, early second. He'll help out somebody. Shane Larkin, for example. He'll probably be in the 20s somewhere out of Miami. Good player. Okay. Georgie Jang. Okay. He's going to help out a team that he goes to as a shot blocker. You have guys like that that are going to help. Kelly Olynyk. They take him a little while, you know, because they're a little concerned about, I think, about how strong he is. But good hard worker. CJ McCollum's going to help out a team. There aren't as many teams, though, looking, you know, at his spot. I mean, he could actually slip in this draft. You know, you take like Damian Lillard, who's the NBA Rookie of the Year out of Portland. And the one thing they see between him and McCollum is they don't think McCollum has the same instincts. But he'll help the team that goes. Steven Adams is going to help the team he goes to. So will Cody Zeller. Shabazz Muhammad. Haven't talked much about him. I think Anthony Bennett's going to help a team he goes to. Burke and Oladipo will. I think Alex Len is going to be a guy that, you know. Otto Porter's going to be interesting. I think he's a virtual lock to go to the Wizards at 3. Ben McLemore, it's going to depend on his mood that night. And then Nerlens Noel. Again, his problem is he does not have the offensive skills Alex Len does. Okay. And, you know, they've got Deion Waiters. Now the question is whether they want a defensive wizard back there who's a shot blocker extraordinaire in Noel, maybe the best shot blocker I've seen since maybe Bill Russell. But he has the offensive game of Kerry Russell. So, it's not a great draft, but an intriguing one tonight. Thanks to Patrick Chambers for being with us. Tony DeFazio tomorrow with all the Steeler questions that Kevin's aching to ask.